Vaydaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'yikhuli tiruma, me'eis kol ish asher yidvenu libo, tikhu es tirumasi. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and let them take for me a portion. From every person whose heart motivates him, you shall take my portion. V'osu li mikdash, v'shochanti b'socham. V'osu aron atzei shitim, amosayim v'cheitzi orko. V'yama v'cheitzi rochbo. They shall make a sanctuary for me, so that I may dwell among them. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Parshat Teruma, Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Recording and first broadcast Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 29th day of Shvat, 5774, corresponding to the 30th day of January, 2014. Let's say Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130, and then we'll get into issues of the Parsha and of Rosh Chodesh and whatever else we get to. Before that, I just want to mention that today, which is Erev Rosh Chodesh, is called Yom Kippur Katan. It's like a miniature Yom Kippur. There are some people who accept upon themselves to fast. It's not a required fast day. And there are slichot that are recited on Yom Kippur Katan, and it's meant as a monthly audit, we'll say, spiritual audit, which the annual audit is Yom Kippur, the regular Yom Kippur. And this developed as a custom which some people have accepted, to have a miniature Yom Kippur each month. It turns out that it's only 8 months out of the 12 of the year, because we don't do it in Tishrei because of regular Yom Kippur. We don't do it right before Tishrei for the same reason, and we don't do it during Nisan, and we don't do it on Hanukkah. So it turns out 8 out of the 12 months of the year have a Yom Kippur Katan. And the idea is based on the fact that Rosh Chodesh, which this month is tonight, Thursday night, Friday night, Shabbat, is a Zman Kapara L'chol Toldotam, a period or a time of atonement. And you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. The custom therefore developed to observe the more somber and serious aspects of Rosh Chodesh on the day before. And if Rosh Chodesh is Shabbat, it's pulled back to Thursday. If it's Sunday, it's pulled back to Thursday. And as I said, not all that many people follow it, but there are those who do, and I wanted to mention it. Tehillim Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mi-ma'amakim kraticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tehiena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor yoh Adonai mi-ya'amod, ki imcha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivita nafshi, v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, mi shomerim la-boker, shomerim la-boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achinu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha-omidim bein bayom, bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha-makom yurachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'meafela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv Vinomar Amen. You notice that I read more than one verse. First of all, the opening verse of this week's Sedra is the most common pasuk in all of the Torah. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, and God spoke to Moshe saying, and it's really an introductory kind of thing. It doesn't even mention the name of the parsha. There are, I don't know, half a dozen, I have to check for sure, parshiot that are named in their second verse, let alone not the first or second word, and Truma is one of them. So I read that first pasuk and then the second. I also did the dot dot dot, which by the way is called an ellipsis, and continued with a pasuk further down of the Asuli Mikdash, to make a sanctuary for God, which we will talk about. And then I included a pasuk of the first specific furnishing of the Mishkan, which was the Aron, in the Pasuk V'asu Aron Atzei Shitim, and I did that because of the theme that opened the show, which I'm not going to hold anyone in suspense, is the theme to Raiders of the Lost Ark, and that ark that they were talking about was the ark that is mentioned in the Sedra, and is part of the construction of the Mikdash, the Mishkan, and that's the movie, and this is the book, and they're a little different from each other, but we're focusing on the book. Okay, there are two calendar things that I wanted to focus, one a more serious one, and one just an interesting one, a curious one. So let's take the real one first. We are coming up to Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, Parshat Teruma. And I realized that combination, which happens about 10% of the time of the years, is a confluence of Kedusha, sanctity. What do I mean? Let's start with Shabbat. Shabbat is the earliest example that we have from the Torah of a concept of the sanctity of time, Kedushat Zaman. God created the world in 6 days. He rested on the seventh day, so to speak. And he taught us that there is a distinction drawn between chol, profane, secular, mundane time, and kedusha, sanctity. We read, Vayechulu Hashamayim Va'aretz V'chol Tzva'am, thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and all their array. By the seventh day God completed his work, which he had done, and he abstained on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because on it he abstained from all his work which God created to make. When we get to the Aseret HaDibrot, the Ten Commandments, that which I just read now is from the account of creation, the end of the account of creation. In the Aseret HaDibrot, where we have the fourth commandment, Zachorit Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho, it says there, 6 days shall you work and accomplish all your work, but the seventh day is Shabbat to Hashem your God. You shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your slave, your maidservant, your animal, and your convert within your gates. For in 6 days Hashem made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, Al-Kain, Hashem, God, blessed the Sabbath day and sanctified it. So Shabbat is the prime example of God sanctifying time and showing it to us and commanding us to treat Shabbat in a very special way because of its sanctity. Then we move on to the next example of Kedushat Zman, still the sanctity of time, and that is the Jewish calendar, the holidays and the whole calendar. When God in Parshat Bo says to Moshe and Aaron, when the people were still in Egypt, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, this month of Nisan shall be the first of your months, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashana, he was commanding the Jewish people to create their calendar, which would be different from the calendars of other people, and would be the calendar which guides our cycle of the months and the years. That means that when he next speaks to us, which is in Parshat Bo, of Pesach, Pesach depends upon the sanctification of the month of Nisan and the Rosh Chodesh of Nisan. Now, what's important about that is that it's not the same as God sanctifying Shabbat. God sanctified Shabbat on his own. He told us about it. He commanded us to treat the Shabbat with holiness, treat it as holy, but he sanctified the day. When it comes to the holidays on the calendar, when it comes to the months which determine the holidays, to Rosh Chodesh, which heads each month and has a Kedusha, this was a sanctity that God commanded us to do. It's as if he said, I showed you with Shabbat that there is such a thing as sanctity of time, and sanctity of time implies also a difference between one time and another time, one period of time and another period of time, and he wanted us to also be involved in that process, and that is the Jewish calendar. So when we have a Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, it's not just to be treated as a coincidence of the calendar. Yes, it happens as frequently as Rosh Chodesh being on any other day of the week. Accurate statistics aside, roughly speaking, every day is Rosh Chodesh in its 1/7 share of the time. And you have two-day Rosh Chodeshes, which we'll not get into now. But that's not the point. The point is, it's Shabbos, it's Rosh Chodesh. No, more than that. It's Shabbat Rosh Chodesh. And Shabbat Rosh Chodesh blends, merges the two kinds of sanctity of time. The one that God made, the one that he commanded us to do. And it puts them together, and we should feel the energy, the power of that particular confluence of different sanctities of time. Add to this Parshat Truma. Parshat Truma teaches us the sanctity of place. We exist in this universe in a three-dimensional space and in the time. Time used to be thought of as the fourth dimension. Doesn't matter whether you consider it that or not. Our existence is in place and time. and vi'asu li mikdash v'shachanti betocham, the command to make a sanctuary to God, is not for a dwelling place for him. It is for a focus of our spiritual efforts and energies, and it creates a sanctity of Mekom HaMikdash, the place where the Mishkan, or the Mikdash more accurately, is situated. Kedushat Makom, sanctity of place, applies to all of Eretz Yisrael and all of the city of Yerushalayim and to Har HaBayit and to Mekom HaMikdash, and even within the Beit HaMikdash complex there were different levels of sanctity. But this Shabbat, with Parshat Truma and the command to make the Mikdash, with Shabbat and with Rosh Chodesh, I would like to present as a confluence of sanctity, which is supposed to make us more conscious and aware and better. I leave it to you to choose what to do this Shabbat that would be appropriate for this build-up of energy. Next, let's go from the general to the specific. Actually, we were specific about Parsha Truma, but we were general about Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh. Let's go to the specifics of Rosh Chodesh, namely Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon. Now, let's do a quick 101 on the calendar. For those who know this well, it's a review, and if you know it really well, I beg your indulgence. But here's the story. Our calendar is made up of two facets. The first is that our months must follow the cycle of the phases of the moon. Specifically, from no moon, which is called new moon, to new moon again. That is called a lunation in English. Actually, a lunation is any full run through the cycle of the phases. You could start at a quarter moon, you could start at half moon, full moon, no moon, doesn't matter, I think, with the term lunation. But our months are considered to begin at that instant that the earth, moon, and sun are aligned in one plane. And when they are totally aligned, a solar eclipse will happen at that moment. But not every month is there a solar eclipse, because there's an inclination of the orbit of the moon around the earth to the orbit of the earth around the sun. Anyway, don't have to get into that now. But the fact is that exactly that moment when the moon is in between the earth and the sun is known as the Molad in Hebrew. It is known as the new moon. I've told you before that the Avudraham, 500 plus years ago, described the term Molad as a misnomer, because Molad gives you the impression of the birth of the new moon. That would be sometime after the real Molad, which would be a minimum of 20 hours later, sometimes longer, when we can first see the earliest crescent of the moon. And that's when the Sanhedrin was in charge of determining Rosh Chodesh. And that's also a little bit beyond the scope of what I want to say, but I get carried away at this topic, so please excuse me. Anyway, our months are follow the moon. The moon takes 29 and a half days and 44 minutes and a little couple of seconds to go through its phases from our perspective. That means that Jewish months will either be 30 days or 29 days. 29 is a little short, 30 is a little long, and the arrangement of the 30s and the 29s is such that it averages out the way it's supposed to average out. So that's one thing. Now, 12 of those months are called a year, even though they don't match the real definition of a year, which is the time it takes the Earth and Moon to go around the Sun. That real year is what the secular calendar, January, February, March, follows, and their months, which are sometimes 31 days or 30 days, are not accurate to the cycle of the Moon, but they are a convenient 1/12th division of a solar year. I'm getting lost here. What I mean to say is as follows. If we make a Jewish year 12 months, which is the norm, the year will be shorter than a real year, an actual year, a solar year. In order to keep the seasons and the holidays aligned, and first and foremost, Pesach must be in the spring, we need to add a month rather than adding a few days every year. That would not work out the way that our calendar is structured. We need to add a whole month periodically so that we have short 12-month years and longer 13-month years, and they average out to the length of a solar year, which is 365.2425 days. And that's a little bit less than 365 1/4, which is what it was thought to be for a long time. And that's the way it works. Now, in our fixed calendar, there are 7 years in every 19-year cycle, and it follows a fixed pattern, 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19. That means every 3, 3, 2, 3, 3, 3, 2 years, we have an extra month. That extra month is another Adar, and that is because the purpose is to postpone Pesach, which is in Nisan, and therefore it's most obvious and demonstrative that we do the adding to the end of that cycle. So we double Adar. Now, we now know in advance, in our fixed calendar, that there are exactly these 7 extra month years. They're called Shana Me'uberet, which literally means a pregnant year, because it's carrying an extra month. And we know the pattern, which means it does not come as a surprise if any given year is or isn't a Shana Me'uberet. However, in the time of Sanhedrin, which is really what I've been trying to work up to, there was a committee of judges from Sanhedrin to determine on a year-to-year basis whether we need an extra month in a given year or not. I just realized that I went over time, so I took a chunk, put it at the beginning of the second half, which I haven't recorded yet, and in the meantime, we'll be right back with Torah Tidbits Audio. You are listening to Torah Tidbits Audio for Parshat Terumah, but you really wouldn't know that much yet. But for Rosh Chodesh Adar Rishon, which you would know. And the theme that I just played, I could leave. You know what? I'll give whoever cares a little bit of time. And if I remember, I will, before I switch to Parshat Terumah, I'll tell you where this music comes from. Not as obvious as the Raiders of the Lost Ark was. I'm going to first play, about half a minute that I had recorded already, and continuation from the last part, and then I'll continue from there. This decision was made usually during the month of Adar, and an announcement was made that the following month will not be Nisan, as you might have thought, since Nisan comes after Adar, but it will be another Adar. This, by the way, is reflected in the older terminology, where the two Adars were referred to as Adar and Ve'adar. It was only later that we started calling them Adar Aleph and Bet, or Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Originally, it was an Adar and Adar. I was going to continue about the difference between the time of Sanhedrin and now the process that we use, but I'd rather speak of another aspect, and then we'll move on to the weekly Sedra. The question that has different components is, which is the real Adar? Now, this needs to be known in certain circumstances. For example, a child born in a regular year, one Adar, comes for a boy 13 years later, for a girl 12 years later, when is their bar or bat mitzvah? A boy, let's use that as an example, whose bar mitzvah comes in a two Adar year, needs to know when he's allowed to read from the Torah publicly and get an aliyah, and generally we say no, only in the second Adar. However, we say to him, you are obligated to wear tefillin already from your birth date in the first Adar. So there's a little equivocation there. It gets a little messier when it comes to Yahrzeit, anniversary of a date of death. My mother, Aleha HaShalom, died on the 19th of Adar in a regular year, a couple of days after Purim. In every year that has two Adars, my brothers and I needed to know from the beginning which Yahrzeit we observe. Turns out that the Sfaradi world holds, based on the author of the Shulchan Aruch, that the real Adar is the second Adar. And they say a Yahrzeit is to be observed in the second Adar. Period. End of story. The Ashkenazis, who follow usually the addenda of the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Isserles, he holds that it should be the first Adar. Along comes the Mishnah Brura, also authoritative for Ashkenazim, and he said a person should strive to observe both Yahrzeits, and that means to try, to say Kaddish is not a problem, to learn Mishnayot and anything else is not a problem, to give tzedakah is not a problem, to light a candle is not a problem. It then goes to what obligations you can receive in shul. Are you the chazan for the same date in each Adar? Do you get maftir on the Shabbat before the Yahrzeit in each Adar? There might be other chiyuvim in the shul. And that gets, again, a little messy. And the most difficult aspect, I guess, is fasting. Many people have accustomed to fast on the Yahrzeit of their parents. And when my brothers and I asked the question the first time it came up, we were told that we should try to follow the Mishnah Brura and observe both Adars, the dates in both Adars, the 19th of Adar Rishon and the 19th of Adar Sheni. It's still not without its confusion. There are other areas of halacha which also get into the argument, and contracts that are signed to Adar, the term of a year, a whole bunch of other aspects. But now let me just finish this with why there's this problem. Logic would say you have a regular Adar, and if you're adding a month to not make it Nisan yet, but to do another Adar, then the first is the real, and the second is the added. That is the Ashkenazi view based on Rav Moshe Isserles, the Ramah. However, everything that is in Adar, everything special, in a communal level, got moved to the second Adar. Start first and foremost with Purim. Purim is the 14th and the 15th in Yerushalayim and elsewhere of Adar. which is the month which we observe Purim, the second Adar. Now, it has a reason, and that's because Purim is supposed to be exactly 1 month before Pesach, kedei lismoch geula legeula, in order to juxtapose the two stories of redemption, one next to the other. But does that make the second Adar the real Adar because it has Purim, or is the first one the real one? And because of this other preference, Purim got moved into the second. I would suggest that the existence of a strange calendar date name called Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan in the first Adar, which we don't do much on. We don't say Tachanun, and that's about it. Whatever other customs people have, that's neither here nor there. If the real Adar was the second one, in other words, if the added month was the first Adar, then it wouldn't have any Purim in it. It wouldn't even have a reminder of Purim. It wouldn't have a Purim Katan. So the existence of Purim Katan is, to me, a statement. This is the real Adar, and Purim should have been here. But for a different reason, Purim is being moved into the extra Adar because it is the one right before Nisan. We will leave the whole marked with Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan. What goes along with this is Tanit Esther, of course, and Parshat Zohar, and Parshat Shkolim, and afterwards Parshat Parah and Parshat HaChodesh, all got stripped away from their place on or around the first Adar and got moved to the second Adar. So there's an argument for the Sephardi opinion of second Adar, there's an argument for the Ashkenazi one of the first Adar, and the compromise, or not compromise, but the suggestion of the Mishnah Brura to observe both as a yahrzeit has merit as well. Let's finish this long presentation on Rosh Chodesh, or the topic of the calendar, with a energetic song from an album called Shema Yisrael by Menucha, and the words come from a Motzoi Shabbat Zmira, speaking about the upcoming month, which means we have our combination of Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh, and then we'll talk more.
Shazakin du asavi kreise Vi shama be vayise Kaos so de kosin vay Yehi Achayin shazakin du asavi kreise Vi shama be vayise Kaos so de kosin
Yeah.
הקודש הזה, כן נבוא הסבי חי זה, וישמה בבייסה, כל ססיים וכל שמחה. הקודש הזה, כן נבוא הסבי חי זה, וישמה בבייסה, כל ססיים וכל שמחה. חזק ימלא, ימלא משל היסיינו,
Okay, I spoke earlier about a confluence of kedusha, of sanctity, and there's something very important to discuss about both kedushat zman and kedushat makom, sanctity of time and sanctity of place. If our challenge as Jews is to rise higher and higher in kedusha, sanctity, to become a truly spiritual people, then why is not our ultimate goal total sanctity? If we're talking about Kedushat Zman, why are we not striving that every single day of the week should be Kodesh, and that would be the epitome? That would be the ultimate. Similarly, if Kedushat Makom is the sanctification of place, then the Asuli Mikdash, to build a Beit HaMikdash where its confines and the area around it have a higher sanctity than the rest of Yerushalayim, and they have a higher sanctity than the rest of Israel, than that of the rest of the world, why should not our ultimate goal be total sanctification, whatever that means? The answer, I don't know if it's a complete answer, I don't want to even call it a simple answer, because I think it's more than simple, is that we are human beings. And human beings cannot operate on a total kedusha level of place, of time, or of anything. We need the picking and choosing of times and places to appreciate Kedusha, sanctity, and to help in our attempt to strive for it. And every time we go too far in the desire to attain spirituality, it sometimes falls way short of where we even should be in a normal situation. What comes to my mind is a Nazir, a Nazirite, who takes vows which include abstaining from drinking wine and cutting his hair, and the attempt is to become more spiritual, and yet we see this not as a favorable thing, but as a necessary thing for certain individuals because of what they've been doing, and not an ideal. Not an ideal. It's even referred to as a sin because it carries with it a korban chatat, a sin offering in the Beit HaMikdash. We need the contrast, and God shows us that contrast, where it says he labored in creating the world for 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and therefore blessed that day and made it holy. He could have chosen to present to us, I created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and therefore I bless and sanctify all 7 days of the week. We would have a problem with that. We can't handle that. We need contrast, and we need limitations and focus. That's what Shabbat does. Now, ideally, Shabbat should have an impact on turning a person's Friday into Erev Shabbat, and it should have a further impact on Thursday and Wednesday already of things focusing towards Shabbat. But Shabbat is Shabbat, and it could linger into Motzoi Shabbat, a little bit into Sunday and a little beyond, but in essence it's Shabbat. It's a 24-hour period to which we already halachically added approximately an hour before and after because of twilight, and a little bit more here and a little bit more there, but that's it. Don't go too far. It's as if the verse that says Sheshet Yamim Ta'avod V'yasita Kol Malachtecha Uvayom Hashvi'i Shabbat Lashem Elokecha, 6 days you shall labor. That's not an anecdote. That's not a report. That's like a command. You have to work 6 days during the week. I don't mean that your job has to be 6 days a week, but you have to do certain creative activities all throughout the week in order to appreciate the Kedusha of Shabbat. Rosh Chodesh is special because it's 1 day a month. Chagim are special because they're periodic, not every day. And the same thing goes for place. There is a special quality, even today, that Har HaBayit, the Temple Mount, without a Beit HaMikdash, retained its Kedusha, and Mekom HaMikdash, the place of the temple, even without a temple, according to many, many approaches, retains its Kedusha to the point where you're not allowed to go there until totally ritually purified, which we can't do without the potion made from the ashes of the Parah Aduma. So there are people who stay away from all of Har HaBayit, and there are people who know and feel it important to visit Har HaBayit, but only those parts of the Temple Mount that the Beit HaMikdash and its surrounding courtyard did not stand on, and they have to treat it very, very specially. Can't wear leather shoes onto Har HaBayit, have to go to mikveh before Har HaBayit, certain activities you can't do when you're on Har HaBayit, and because there is a sanctity, a Kedusha. One should feel this way about Eretz Yisrael in total. But again, it needs a balance. It needs a contrast. And that's how we function best in appreciating and understanding and striving towards the fulfillment of the sanctity of place and the fulfillment of the sanctity of time. As I'm recording, my eye does not always add up the numbers that keep flashing on my screen. I have where I was, and I have what I'm doing now, and I don't always add them together, and then when I stop, it all comes together, and I see how much or how little time I have left. I have about a minute, and certainly can't do justice to this concept, but I will say the following. The whole process of Mishkan is presented to us in the Torah twice. Once in the pristine form that it is in Parshat Teruma, following all the events from the Exodus to the Red Sea, to Har Sinai, to building the Mishkan. When we see it again, it's with the background of the devastating events of Egel HaZahav. We need to see both presentations of Melechet HaMishkan in their completeness. It's not just a repetition. We need to have the perspective of Matan Torah in the background, and we need the sober, somber reminder of the background that the Egel HaZahav episode provides. I'll talk more about it, but let's just say for now, Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov, Lehishtamea.